There's always been a tension in media coverage of national security issues between the public's need to know and the government's desire to protect secrets.
Just this month, the Pulitzer Prize honored the Washington Post and the Guardian for publishing NSA data leaked by Edward Snowden, which New York Congressman Peter King called disgraceful. He said it would be like rewarding a paper for revealing secret plans for D-Day before the Normandy invasion.
Our next guest will tackle the ethics of national security reporting when he's in Wisconsin later this week. Eric Lichtblau reports on national security and other issues for the New York Times. He's speaking at the UW-Madison in a conference on surveillance, security, and journalism ethics. His keynote address is titled Media Minefields, Journalism, National Security, and the Right to Know. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, how often do national security reporters like you run into these media minefields?
Well, frequently, especially since 9/11, and surprisingly, especially during the Obama administration, which has been surprising because this is an administration that came in pledging transparency and greater openness, and has initiated more leak investigations than any administration in history, and almost all of those have centered on national security cases and the tension that you spotlight between the public's right to know and the government's intense interest in keeping secrets. So this is a frequent tripwire for Washington reporters, and we are editors are often in the situation of having to at a minimum field calls from the administration officials saying we wish you wouldn't run this story for reasons X, Y, and Z. But it's more than just a phone call. It's the threat of a subpoena. It's the threat of being dragged into a criminal investigation, and it's the threat of sources who have a lot to lose if they cooperate in reporting out stories.
Do reporters have an obligation to make sure their coverage doesn't endanger national security?
Sure, and I think that's a responsibility that we take seriously. At least I know at the New York Times, where I work, and colleagues at other papers do take that very seriously. And Congressman King's comment about printing the details of D-Day, I think makes for interesting rhetoric, but that's all it is rhetoric, because in fact, the types of details that papers are printing and TV networks are airing, whether it's from the Edward Snowden files or other stories, we are very careful about making sure that those are not compromising what the intelligence folks call sources and methods. I worked extensively on the package of stories from WikiLeaks that came out a couple of years ago, and the paper was meticulous about going through those and excising the names of sources, the names of people who might be compromised if their identities were out there publicly. There are often cases where we are going above and beyond what's necessary to make sure that compromising information should not be put out there. But at the same time, we think that the public does have a right to know, that we should not be abdicating our responsibility to add to the public debate. The argument you always hear from the other side is, well, who's the media to make those decisions? It's the White House or the National Security Agency or the CIA should be making those decisions. But, I think historically and certainly at this very moment, if we relied on them to make those decisions, the vast majority of these stories would not be out there. I mean, you can see that right now in the debate in Washington over the torture report that the administration is debating whether to declassify or not. This is a multi-thousand-page report about abuses and illegalities by the CIA after 9/11, and if the media were prevented from having reported on those issues over the years, the public would know next to nothing about it.
When do you and your editors decide when you get that phone call from the government to say, "Hey, thanks for the call. We're running with this anyway"?
There's almost always, or I would say there is always, you know, a lot of debate that goes into it. There will be meetings between reporters and editors, and there's not always agreement. I mean, the biggest case that I was involved in was in 2005 when my partner and I at the paper broke the story about President Bush's warrantless wiretapping program, where they were eavesdropping on Americans without going through the courts. And that was a story that the paper decided to hold at the request of the Bush White House for 13 months. So we as the reporters in that case, and even some of the editors, did not agree with that decision. There's not a uniform mindset. There's often intense debate, and sometimes we come down on different sides. But at the end of the day, the top editors will we'll usually sit down with the administration officials and always hear them out and let them know why or why not we're going to go with the story.
You're an American newspaper based in the United States. Do you only worry about U.S. national security, or if there were a story about a Russian covert agent, say, in Ukraine, do you have that conversation with the Russian government? Does that ever happen?
Less so. I mean, I guess I could imagine a scenario where that might happen, but certainly our main interest is in reporting on U.S. news and keeping in focus the possible fallout as far as American intelligence sources and things like that.
I want to turn to protecting sources before we're done. You as a reporter, or the public might see a whistleblower. The government sees a national security risk. Judith
sure.
Miller of the New York Times was jailed for contempt in one case for not revealing a leaker.
Right.
What's the line there in protecting your sources? You always do it or what?
Well, yeah, I mean that's really our currency is our trust and our word to our sources, and if we fall back on that trust, we don't have much left to go on. Unless there is, it's tough to imagine a scenario where you would break a vow of trust to a source who's been talking to you on a confidential basis. You know, possibly if the source, were lying to you or manipulating you in some way, that might sort of negate the original understanding. But short of that, my partner on that original NSA story that I was just talking about is now facing that very situation. His case is before the Supreme Court. He's been looking at a contempt of court citation for a subpoena to disclose a source on a story having to do with a CIA program in Iran, and he has refused to testify, has refused to name that source. So, he may be looking at that same situation. That's the extreme. Usually there it gets resolved before that, but too many reporters have been in that situation lately, partly because there is not a so-called shield law at the federal level, which protects the reporter-source relationship. Virtually every state has some version of the shield law, but the federal government, where it's needed most because of national security stories, does not have the equivalent of one, even though folks have been trying for years now to get one.
Eric, enjoy your visit to Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'm sure I will.
That's Eric Lischblau. He's a reporter at the New York Times. He's speaking Friday on journalism and national security at a conference hosted by UW-Madison's Center for Journalism Ethics.